I can remember back when I was a kid on the farm. When I was a young boy, I mean, I don't mind plowing with a tractor now, but back in those days, you know, when you're 16 years old, you always got something else to do besides plow. When Dad says, "Son, go plow that 50 acres," you think, "Oh gosh, Daddy, can't you do it? I want to do this, or I got to work. I want to do something." Lord, Daddy, no, he says, "Son, today you go plow the field." Okay, so I go over to that place and I get on that old tractor and I start going around those 50 acres, you know, and I'm going around. And of course, I look off out yonder about far and here at that wall, and there's a great big old rock. And I thought, well, I don't want to run over that rock. And I'm driving around that field, and directly I run over that rock, and I don't even remember. Nothing happened between here and there. Is my mind there? No, what am I doing? I'm thinking about something else. But yet I'm holding that tractor in the rut. I'm going around plowing that field. And when it wakes me up, I think, Lord, I really don't want to be out here. Now, Lord, I know so little about your word, but my mama's taught me a lot about your word. She says I can pray and ask you for things and you'll do it. I said, Lord, I really don't want to be out here plowing. I know you know my heart. I'd like to be doing something. Would you send a good rain on this field so it'd make it all muddy so I don't have to plow? Now, any of you guys ever done anything like this before when you were a kid? And it clouded up and came a beautiful hard rain, and the furrows flowed full of water. And I just barely did get out of the field. And I got home and I pulled up in front of the house, and it's about 3 miles around to the house. And when I got around to where the house, Daddy said, "Son, well, you can't be through that field yet." I said, "No, Daddy, come a big rain over." "Son, don't tell me it come a rain over there." He said, "We're only 3 miles and I ain't seen a cloud in the sky." He said, "It's clear it didn't rain." I said, "Daddy, I promise you it rained. It's muddy." He said, "Get back in that car. We're going over there and I'm going to watch you plow that field." We go over there and we pull. I said, "Daddy, I'm telling you, I'm not lying. Daddy, it rained." And we got over there and he says, "I ain't believing this. I ain't believing this." That's the way I started out my praying. I'm not sure that's right or wrong. But God heard my prayer and he made it rain on that little 50 acres. You know what I mean? That little 50 acres. Now, can God make it rain anywhere he wants to? Yes. He can break it rain right there on that little 50. I'm telling you that from straight across, it couldn't have been a mile and a half to where my dad's place was. Straight across. You went around the road, it was about 3 miles. But that mile and a half, when I went over to the house, it was as dry on that road as a powder keg. I mean, there was not a drop of water that fell over there. That's what I told him. It come a rain and the furrows are running full of water. He said, "Son, come on, come on." I ain't believing that. And he didn't believe it until he went over and saw it. But after he saw it, now then, can God do exactly what he said here? If the United States of America says, "Well, we ain't sending no delegates over there to worship you. We don't believe in you." He said, "No, that don't bother the king, does it? You're not going to send a delegation to come over to Israel and worship me? Because where is his palace going to be? Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, that's right. His palace is going to be in Jerusalem. His temple's going to be there. And he's going to live in it. And we're going to reign and rule. Now, what if he says, Thurman, I need you over here today. I got a special chore for you. And here I'm over here in Dallas or Justin or whatever. And he said, "I got a special chore for you, but I need you to come see me." Am I going to have to go get on a jet airplane and fly over there?
No way.
You ain't seen nothing when you say, "Beam me up, Scotty."
Oh, yeah.
When I say, "Lord, here I am." And yes, sir, I'm standing in front of the king. Can you imagine that? Hey, we get to travel at the speed of thought. Isn't that something? There's no limitations with God, is there? None. That's whatsoever. It's going to be fun serving the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know of anybody or know anybody personally that has ever been translated on this earth? Do you know of somebody? Okay. There is a man by the name of Dallas. This guy was a military man in the Korean War. He was a chaplain. Now, he had been to the John McCall's church in Baltimore 4 or 5 times. I never had the privilege to meet him, but John gave me his book, and I did read his book. And he was a chaplain in Korea. And man, he went through all kinds of devastating things when he was over in Korea. I mean, he saw guys killed. I mean, he got wounded himself. He was out there in the backwoods of North Korea in the cold. I mean, it was unbelievable what he went through. He was out there for 2 or 3 months. He'd bark off of trees and everything to stay alive. You know, he really had some tough times. When he finally got back to the Yellow River, he said, I looked down and there was North Korean soldiers all down in that valley. And there was that big Yellow River. And on the other side was our troops. He said, God, there is no way I could get through that line of troops. And if I got through that line of troops, there's no way I could swim across that cold river and get to the other side without dying. He said, Lord, you're going to have to do something supernatural. And he said, I blinked my eyes one time and I was standing in our camp on the other side. This really happened to a man that's alive today. He's about 5 or 6, 7 years older than me, but he was in the Korean War and he lived that. Now, what can God do? Hey, Mary, nothing hard for God. I mean, all you got to do is believe and it be within his will, and for him to translate you from one place to another, he can do it. We read about things like that in the scriptures, don't we? You know, where one of the apostles, you know, or disciples, was translated from leading the eunuch to Jesus. He was translated over to another town about 20 or 30 miles away. Now, of course, that's no problem for God, is it? No. He can translate you anywhere, anywhere. There's nothing hard for God. That's what we got to get in our mind and our heart. But he says, if they won't come upon all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So now then, instead of not sending any rain, he's going to send a plague upon you. Do you think it would pay good dividends just to humble yourself and do what he says? Why don't we do that today? Why doesn't it? You ever stop to think about that? God commands the church to walk in love. Does he not? Do we do a good job walking in love? Not very good, do we? And we wonder why we're sick. Well, he says right here, if they don't do what I say, I will send the plague or sickness and disease upon them, doesn't he? Now then, what if they'd humble themselves and come to Jerusalem once a year for the Feast of Tabernacles? Bowed down and worshiped him. Would that be hard? It wouldn't be hard for me. He's my Lord. I'm grateful I have the privilege to bow down before our King, don't you? I'm grateful that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. But when is all this going to happen? That's exactly right. Soon. That's the reason I'm talking about this today, because I believe with what's going on, what I saw in Washington last week, you know, I mean, the week before, I thought it was devastating whenever Biden was over there and they made the announcement that they were going to build 1,600 new homes in Jerusalem or in Israel. And man, he got all upset. And then, of course, he called Hillary, and Hillary called Netanyahu, which is the prime minister of Israel, and for 45 minutes read him the riot act. Who does that woman think she is? If it had been a man, I'd have said, who does that man think he is to talk to the prime minister of Israel like that? Isn't that something? But we think we are God. We think we're running the show. But we are not. I got news for you. But that's why all these things he talks about is going to come to pass. And then this last week, whenever Obama treated him like dirt, wouldn't even let him stay for dinner. The prime minister of Israel, he would not even let him have dinner in the White House. Brings him in and out a side door, not even out the front door. Now, I mean, let's stop and think about this. With where we are rapidly coming to a point where we're turning our back on Israel. When we turn our back on Israel, how many nations are going to come against Israel in the last days? Does that include us? That includes all of us except the church, doesn't it? We ain't going to be there, are we? No, I ain't coming against Israel. There's only one thing I'm going to do for Israel. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I'm going to pray and ask God to do supernatural things to bless those people and to bring those people into the knowledge of God. Because those people, the reason he's doing what he's doing, I can see the handwriting on the wall. Those people in Jerusalem right now, they don't believe in the Lord. Do you know that? They don't believe in Jesus. I mean, there's a few, but not many. So, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring all these other nations against them, and whenever half of them are wiped out, the women been raped and the city's been plundered and everything, and now they have no nation to depend on. They can't come to the United States because we're against them. Who is it that's left for them to cry out to? Almighty God. That's what Israel's always done. Whenever everything else against them, they're going to say, "Oh God, we repent. We got to have some help." He said, "Well, I wondered how long is it going to take y'all to figure this out?" And so then he just swoops down and pours his love out upon them and begins to strike all these nations that come against them. I mean, just like Russia. He said, "I will the valley of Armageddon, whenever the horses and the men come," he said, "I will make the blood flow in a valley of Megiddo. It's 180 miles long. I will make the blood flow bridle deep on a horse." 180 miles of blood. This deep. Can you imagine that? And that little valley, I think, runs from anywhere from 3 or 4 or 5 miles wide up to about 15 miles wide for 180 miles. Did you know that's a great big hole of blood? That's a lot. But God said, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that against the people that come against my nation Israel." And then he said, "I'm coming back and I'm going to build me a new temple and I'm going to reign and rule from Jerusalem and I'm going to be the Lord. And everybody's going to bow down and worship me. If they don't, no problem. You don't get any rain. And if you decide not to bow down and worship me, I'm going to have a dictatorship here and I'll just send a plague upon you and I'll just annihilate you and wipe you out." You know, he's doing that same thing today. He's doing that very same thing. People that won't serve him, he's merciful and kind and gives them years. Years. And then if they finally never make him Lord and Savior, some kind of sickness comes up on them, or they get killed in a car wreck, or they do something, and then they die. And where do they get to go? To hell. Isn't that awful? That's awful. So you see why I'm telling you, I challenge you this week to write down 3 people's name that need to be saved.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "The Day of the Lord is Coming," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.